Our gospel for this Reformation Sunday comes to us from the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Sorry. Glory to you, O Lord. We've been doing Matthew for so long, I had Matthew on the brain. But we take a little detour into John on this Sunday. Jesus is in a series of conversations with those who are struggling to understand him, those who are struggling with the concept of wanting to get rid of him, and even those of his closest followers who are still trying to figure out, what is he going on about? Then Jesus said to those who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. All right, in honor of, you know, Halloween, some of these might be tricks, some might be treats, we'll find out. The local witch just got a brand new 2024 Harley-Davidson Air Glide. Now all night long we hear broom, broom, broom. Where does a pumpkin preach? From the pulpit. Oh. Count Chocula, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and Teddy Graham's bear all perished in a fire. S'more at 11. And I know oftentimes you find my jokes like I found my friend's pet snake ghost costume. Boo hiss. As I said, trick or treat. Trick or treat. Hi, my name is David, and I'm a sinner. And not enough of you are part of those organizations to be able to know how you're supposed to respond, obviously.
Hi, Dave.
That was a long pause. But we'll keep everyone anonymous. That's a true statement. The guy standing up in front in church wearing white, that's a true statement. I am a sinner. For this season of the Sundays after Pentecost, since September, we've been using a form of confession that the Iona community uses. Notice that I do something radical. I confess to you first. Do you know how nerve-wracking it is waiting for the forgiveness part from you all? See, normally on Sunday, you say something and I say, "It's all right. God loves you." The tables were turned. And now normally I know it's because whether or not, you know, the slides are advancing fast enough or not, I would like to think that's the case and not you're all collectively deciding whether or not I deserve forgiveness. I would like to not go there, thank you very much. But it is a tough situation, isn't it? How often have we ever ended up in a situation where you had to be vulnerable to another person? And you end up waiting. I remember the time I proposed to my darling wife. The violinist the maitre d' with all the, you know, the great stuff, and everybody in the entire restaurant watching me. And I ask her, and she sits back in her chair and says, "I'll get back to you." Call the EMTs. Now, to be fair, that was the second time I asked her. That was the big one that I had planned out. I blurted out a proposal a couple days before, and I had already arranged all of this, and the maitre d' said, "No, you're going through it again." And so, of course, my wife decided, well, future wife decided to have some fun with me. Still, for a moment, I'm like, But vulnerability is tough. Especially if it's vulnerability that it's going to fundamentally change a situation, like a proposal. Things change. That might explain why more often than not we do something like this and wear a mask. This was the mask I wore last night at the YMCA trunk or treat. It's kind of fun when you have old academy students come up and go, "You're not Darth Vader. You're Pastor David." So I wore this last night. I wore this today. Which one's the bigger costume? But then again, we have a tendency to put on our Sunday best, be it clothes or be it attitude. For years, I have seen people come in and out and meet other people in the congregations, and not just this one, other ones as well. "Hi, how are you doing?" "Fine." And I know for a fact it isn't. But let's face it, that's a tough place to be in. The vulnerability of owning your garbage and the fact that things aren't always right is a tough place for most of us to go. As I often hear people, "Well, you know, how are you doing? Can't complain. No one would listen anyways." And think of how sad that is. "Hi, how are you doing?" "Fine." Or, if you're going to be more polite, "Fine, thanks." With the understanding that that is almost call and response. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
See, you're trained on that one. "Hi, how are you doing?" "Fine, thanks." It's a tough place to be, and we wear masks. And it's amazing how much social media has only amplified that. I saw a friend of mine as a colleague wrote a blessing. They said, "This is the millennial blessing. May your life be as wonderful as what your social media proclaims." But how often it's like, "Oh, here's this wonderful meal I had at this restaurant." No one ever posts the picture of the smoke-filled kitchen because someone forgot to turn off the oven. You talk about the trips. You show the good. But how many people honestly even own their stuff there? Why? It's even worse. Because you have all of these people who will all turn on you and go, "Well..." And so we're a slave to fine. We're a slave to okay. We're a slave to getting by. We're a slave to faking it until you're making it. And we wonder why depression is skyrocketing at the same time loneliness is. Here's the thing. For years, the story was that the loneliest generation was the eldest generation. The research is showing that it's flipped. It is flipped. How can you be so lonely with all these ways to communicate? Maybe that's part of the issue. But more importantly, how are we going to respond to it in ourselves and to our neighbor? Because fundamentally, let's face it, the biggest reason for all of this is the comparative nonsense we play over ourselves and someone else. I only wish my life was like that. You know, for one of these days, I would love to see a series on the cable about the real housewives. I mean, the real housewives. The ones trying to work and keep their kids okay and deal with making ends meet and all of that kind of stuff. Every time you see something that says, caution, adult situations, in this show, and I'm waiting for them, okay, trying to figure out how to pay the mortgage and buy food and get to work and take care of the kids. That's never there. Just what kind of adult situations are they talking about? But how often do we see that as escapism? And we compare our lives to them. Keeping up with the Kardashians? Seriously? But the name is apt. Once upon a time, it was keeping up with the Joneses. So let's not kid ourselves that this is some new phenomenon. It's just been amplified. What do we do? You might have to start off in a place of vulnerability. You might be in a place where when someone asks you how you're doing, I invite you to consider being honest to a point, depending upon what you think the other person can handle. But let me give you a little bit of suggestion on this that might open you up beyond the usual of, well, I don't want to burden them or anything else like that. Jesus tells us that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is. Jesus also tells us that as we engage with the neighbor, there he is. If there's anybody who might be able to walk us through anything, it would be him because he walked through even death. Do we allow ourselves grace? Grace also to not have everything together, not have everything squared away, to not having to be perfect. I mean, we know the commandments, right? First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, right? The law, don't put anything before God. The gospel, you don't have to be God. So why are you trying to be God? But the other one we've got to get past is the 11th commandment of most organizations that we're a part of. And part of the reason why it's so darn difficult to be vulnerable, I think. The 11th commandment. Yes, but what would other people think? In the spirit of Halloween and a number of the costumes I saw last night, I invite you to let it go. To cut yourself some slack, give yourself some grace, and here's another suggestion, give someone else too. sometimes we might need to take a deep breath, especially on social media. Take a deep breath and hit delete. But to take a deep breath. And even if someone comes to you with something hard, or you've got something you want to share with a friend, a family member, take a deep breath. Find that space of grace. Find that reminder that God is God and you are not. And that we're not justified by our perfection. We're not justified by our works. We're not justified by our righteousness. And we're not screwed up either because if we fail any of those things. We're justified by Him. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Those who believe Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In fact, He didn't come into the world to judge it, but to set it free. The truth is, God loves you. Not because of what you do, or how righteous you think you are, or how perfect you think you might be. God loves you. Why? Because that's what God does. Can we have faith in that? Can we trust in that? Can we let the masks go or just wear them around Halloween for fun? It might help a number of people. I mean, to be honest, you know, I wear this and I go, wow, this is a bit of a costume half the time, I feel. Why? Because there's this little thing that always goes in the back of my mind, imposter syndrome. You ever heard of that? Imposter syndrome. It's the faking it till you're making it, but with an underlying assumption you'll never make it, right? You know, imposter syndrome. A friend of mine pointed out, said, you know, a colleague said, we all suffer from this, but have you ever wondered whether or not you're even good enough to have imposter syndrome? The joy of a Gen X life. But regardless of the outfits, I know that this signifies the fact that I've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, that I've been claimed by Him in baptism. And this yoke is the yoke that I'm supposed to put on as a pastor as a reminder of the fact of proclaiming God's love and God's forgiveness and God's grace until I'm blue in the face. Because the world keeps coming at us saying we're not. But I also wear this stole knowing that it's about 70 years old. That when I started, I had very few stoles and I had even less money to buy them. And a pastor who had recently retired and passed away, his widow was looking for someone, a home for these. And she said, "You will do this well." In the faith of that woman who met me and bestowed upon me her husband's beloved stoles for 50 years of ministry. In her faith in Christ, shown to me through grace, I give thanks. May we all set ourselves and one another free because of the love of God that is given to us in Jesus Christ. And so I want you all to remember the fact you've been claimed in holy baptism. If you repeat after me these promises God gave you in baptism. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. May you know the truth. And may it set you free. And remember that God loves you. And so do I. Amen.